God, as we sing that, I hope it's just not words. I hope it's just not something we utter with our mouth. But God, I pray that in our heart, with all that we are and all that we have, we claim you to be the Lord of our life. And God, as we sing that this morning, what a reminder it is that we need to surrender our will. We need to allow our lives to be in your control and in your care. And even as we study today, we'll see the importance of that. And God, I pray as we continue just to give you the free reign. You are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. We are redeemed, bought with a price. And God, we are yours. And with that, we need to allow you to lead us and to guide us. God, I pray as we study tonight, you open our hearts and our minds. We pray that in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, as we get into our study, just a good reminder. We're living in a world of unknowns. And that's a big topic. That's an understanding of what do we do, how do we do. But in your Bibles, if you can turn there to Psalm 57, I'm going to look at one other verse prior to that, but I'll read it to you and for you. But we're going to end up in Psalm 57. But today, as we study through this, what I want to gear our hearts and our minds toward is the fact that we're gearing up this new year. As long as you're in the month of January, you're starting a new year, right? Okay. That's why the Sunday morning messages are on January are all just topics to sort of get us a good jump start, to get our minds and our hearts geared up to be ready for the rest of the year. And one of the things that you and I will face through this new year is the concept of we will be in situations that we just don't know. We don't know the outcome. We don't know the results. We don't know why we're there. We don't know why the people that once said they loved us are now turning on us. We just don't know, period. And so I thought it very important if we just remind ourselves, what do we do in those situations? How do we get through the understanding of that God is there? I mean, look at our world and look what's going on in our world, and it seems to be getting a lot worse than better. And so there's a lot of unknowns. We're in a year of election. There's a lot of unknowns. We're in a year of war. A lot of unknowns. And so how do we plan for our future? How do we look towards? First thing we need to realize is that for you and I, there's a statement. And the statement is this: when God moves his hand, he moves with a predetermined purpose. So one of the things I want you to get so far this morning is this. Because this phrase alone, this statement alone, will get you through many situations in this year to come. Just knowing that when God moves his hand, listen, nothing happens until he does. Nothing happens in your life. Nothing will come into your life. Nothing is going to happen to you or to I unless God moves his hand or gives approval. And so when he moves his hand, you got to remember that he moves it with a predetermined purpose. God doesn't do anything just to do it. God doesn't do anything by mistake. And God allows us to go through things because he has a purpose. But you know what? That purpose is unknown, isn't it? Even in the positive side of life, even in the positive of God using you and I, of God allowing you and I to be put in certain circumstances and to be put into certain areas of life that we can witness for him, we don't know. So going into it, knowing whatever happens to me in this year, it's going to be predetermined by God already. God already knows. There's a lot of hope in that, isn't there? Man. Because, listen, if I didn't know that somebody knew what was going on, I'd be in trouble. Well, I would take charge. I'd still be in trouble. And even though we know God knows, don't we still take charge? And we end up in trouble. And we end up worse than what we would have been. And all of a sudden, we're like, okay, where did all that come from? Well, hopefully today, after we're done studying, you'll have a little bit of an idea of what we need to do to get our minds back where they need to be. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 simply says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Very familiar verse, correct? A very familiar verse that you and I understand, and you and I know that we are to humble ourselves under the hand of God. Because when we humble ourselves under that hand of God, he will then exalt us. He will lift us up, carry us to, make sure we're okay in due time, his time. So don't ever think that God forgets. Don't ever think God has turns his back. Don't ever, he doesn't. Even though the circumstance appears that way, or the world wants to portray that, God never does. And it makes bad situations just a little bit easier to cope with. Listen, life ain't easy no matter how you dice it. No matter how much you believe in God, life isn't easy. Because we live in a broken world, we have that brokenness, we're going to be affected by that brokenness. So in the process of that, listen, there's a joyfulness in brokenness. There's a beauty in death. There's a beauty that you and I need to understand. That's what gives us our hope and our joy. Because the beauty in death is to know that you live with God forever. Isn't that, you can't get any better than that. And so when all of that happens, when all of that happens to our lives, because we don't know what's going on in any of our lives this coming year, we don't know who's going to be here next January. My prayer is that none of us, because the rapture happened. But anyway, that's a whole nother message. We'll get there sooner or later. But when God moves his hand, he moves with a predetermined purpose. Put that on a card somewhere. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere. Because I'm not a prophet, but I'm pretty sure sometime this year to come, you're really going to need to cling to that. Somehow, some situation in your life. But rest assured, that brings hope. Don't think I'm here, oh man, he's fatalistic. He's preaching these messages that are just all so downer. No, I'm preaching hope. Because the reality of life is we're going to get hit. You can't live in a bubble and think that reality is never going to get you. It's going to get you. But you need to be prepared. Just as much as the God's hand is predetermined, you and I, as his children, need to be prepared to how to respond when it does. So we need to be just rejoicing in the fact that we got a plan. And we will have a plan with a purpose. So going back into Psalms 57, we find David as the author of the psalm. And as the author of the psalm, we find him in a little bit of trouble. Actually, if you have headings in your Bible, my heading says, pleading for God's help. David's in trouble right now. So he has reasons for his calamities. And that's what verse 1 says. It says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Until these troubles and trials in my life, God, are gone, I'm going to cry out for your mercy. I'm going to cry out for you, God. And so we're going to see that. First of all, we need to understand what's going on in David's life. Let's go back into, it's very important that we go back into the culture, we go back into the life, try as best we can to fit ourselves in that day, in that situation. So what we need to see, first of all, the reason for David's calamities, one is, set your finger there in Psalm, if you wish, and go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the first reason we need to see, Saul takes notice of David. So what's happening in David's life when we see chapter 17 in 1 Samuel? Well, if you know a little bit of studying through your scriptures, you know that's the chapter of David and Goliath. That's the chapter where David comes on as a young man going to visit his older brothers on the battlefield. And as he enters into the battlefield, he sees this huge Philistine mocking the Israel's God. Mocking their God and defying their God and challenging, send someone out to fight me. So either David was young and foolish. Y'all understand that one, right? Or David had a tremendous understanding of God's predetermined purpose. David had fought many battles as he was watching the sheep. David had many things he had going on in his life. So we come to this situation in verse 7, chapter 17, verse 55. It says, "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, and he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." So we're only going to get your taste buds wet a little bit with what that verse says. Saul takes notice of David. David had a special gift on his life. Do you think Saul knew what that was? Do you think Saul knew that in order for this young man who couldn't even fit into his armor, taking 5 stones, theory is, can't prove this, theory is he took 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers. He's pretty confident. He's a lot more confident than most men I know who hunt. Y'all take boxes of shells in the wood with you. Just saying. He had 5 and that's all he needed. Not any. I won't look over that direction. Anyway. Jerry and I have fun with that. Anyway. As you see that he was very confident in what he did. So Saul noticed him. The next thing we realized, Saul noticed something special about him. But also in chapter 18, verse 12, it states, "And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." See, not only did Saul notice David, but Saul also noticed that God's favor was out of his life and now on David's life. Well, you know, that changed a little bit for Saul, wasn't it? King Saul was changing, wasn't he? He was losing everything he had, everything he knew. He was losing his kingship. He was losing everything. Now, we also know in the Old Testament, there was no permanent indwelling of the Spirit of God. There wasn't a permanent thing because Christ had not came. Christ had not died, was not buried, rose again, because that's when the promise of that permanent indwelling takes place. After Christ, then that permanent indwelling in Acts chapter 2 and day of Pentecost, we get that permanent. Okay, so Saul, that's why you find Saul, the favor of God left Saul. This is not preaching losing a salvation message. What it's preaching is that God chose certain men to be able to live out or carry out his plan. And it was Saul. Remember, they wanted a king. And the nation of Israel fought for a king, and they argued for a king like all other nations. So God said, okay, that's not my plan, but hey, let's see how it works out for you. That's probably going to be in your new year too. There'll be things that God has planned, and there are things that you're going to choose, something different, and God's going to say, okay, that's not my plan, but let's see how that works out for you. And you know what? You're going to end up doing God's plan anyway. So don't waste time. Just do what God asks you to do. Life is much easier that way. So Saul then says, you know, listen, this is not good. And he's afraid of David. He's not afraid of David because of David. He's afraid of David because of the God in him. That's huge. Man, there ought to be people around us that want to be a part of our lives, not because of who we are, but the God that's in us. Man, we could do some mighty things, some great things. People that don't agree with us ought to be a little timid against us, not because we're smart, not because of what we do. It's because the Christ in us, he gives us that power. He gives us that ability. He gives us the joy and the ableness to overcome when they can't. Sad part is that when you are able to face life a little better than other people are able to face life, they don't like that. And instead of saying, how did you do that? They say, you can't do that. There's got to be some other reason. But the sad part is that they miss the joy. They miss the excitement of the predetermined purpose that God has in our life. Because when God is working in our life, he hasn't forgotten you. Isn't that exciting to know that God's, your name is on his mind? Your name is on his heart. And you're going to go through things. You're going to have things in your life. You're going to have things happen to you that are going to be joyful. And you're going to have things happen in your life that are going to rip the soul right out of you. But God will never change being who he is. I had the opportunity last week to share with someone that the importance of don't find your strength in what God can do. because they were, man, they were praying. They were praying hard. God has to do this for me. God, I want God to do this for me. If God does this for me, then this is going to happen. This is going to happen. God's got to do, got to do, got to do. And I said, listen, God doesn't have to do. Our faith and joy comes because of who he is. Who he is says, I'm going to love you no matter what. Who he is says, I'm going to care for you. Who he is says, you're going to be okay. Who he is says, you got a purpose in this. Not what I can do, who I am. We need to remember that. Because when we have trust in who he is and his hand moves a certain direction, we know it's with a predetermined purpose. We can trust him no matter what the circumstance is. And that's hard. I'm not saying this is easy. That's very difficult to go through life with all that, maybe the heaviness and all the hurt and all the stuff that may go on, or even all the joy. But we know it's possible. So Saul was afraid of David because he saw Christ in him. And that's amazing to me when we see what sparked his fear. The second thing, or the third thing, I guess we see, is in verse, or chapter 19, verse 11, skipping through this very quickly. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. She warned him and said, run, run, because if you don't run now, you're dead. So Saul went from recognizing somebody amazing. They just killed the Goliath, just killed the giant. Then he went to, oh boy, I better watch this guy. This guy is in him to a point to where I'm going to kill him. He's taken my throne. I'm going to kill him. You see, then comes Psalm 57. That was David's calamity because it was written in the time frame that David is saying that in this calamity that he was hiding, if you do a study on this chapter, he was hiding in a cave. It doesn't say what cave. It doesn't say exactly where he was at that moment. But that's the calamity that we're going to study today. David is running for his life. He's running from Saul. Now listen, Saul had a little bit of power, didn't he? He was the king. He had every resource at his fingertips to find David. And do you think people would say, sorry, king, I don't want to talk to you today? Without even question. David was running for his life. And we know the story of King Saul's son, Jonathan, how he befriended him, how he helped him through this. But the calamity that is going on, David did not know. First of all, David knew that the hand of God was on his life, correct? I mean, he killed the Philistine. David knew that God was there and helping him through. And all of a sudden now, somebody's trying to kill him. God, what are you doing? God, why am I here? God, why does this man want to kill me? I've done nothing wrong. This coming year, you may find yourself in a circumstance where you're unjustly treated. You're unjustly looked upon. And you know what, David? David went right back to the fact that he knew his God and he knew he did nothing wrong. He trusted his God. So we're going to see that really quickly. Go back into Psalm 57. First of all, David realized who he belonged to in verses 1 and 2. First thing, David trusted his God. And it's easy for you and I to say that we have faith in God. It's easy for you and I to say that we know God is, and God is big, and God will do, and God will take care of, God will provide. But I've used this illustration, and you've probably heard this before, but it fits so well here. When you're at the Niagara Falls, and there's a tight wire walking across the falls, you watch a guy take an empty wheelbarrow all the way across, comes all the way back over. Do you believe he can do it? Absolutely. Get in his wheelbarrow. That's trust. There are many times this year to come that God's going to say, I need you to get in my wheelbarrow. I need you to sit in my wheelbarrow for a little bit. You know God. You know he's good. You know he's going to love you. You know he's going to protect you. You know he's going to take care of you. You know he's going to provide for you. But now you've got to climb in that wheelbarrow and let it happen. And so David said, listen, I trust you. And in verse 1 he says, in that very thing, in the shadow of thy wings, I will make my refuge. I'm going to come under your wing, God. I'm going to come under your care. God, I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to sit on your lap. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to do whatever it takes with you until these calamities are done, until the circumstance I'm in is over. And that's exactly what God is saying. He trusted his God. In verse 2, I will cry unto the God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Predetermined purpose when God's hands moves. David said, I know it is. I know it's. He's taken care of me all this time. He's done all these things for me in my life. He's not going to leave me, forsake me now. So that's an important thought. That's an important process to continue in the forefront of our minds. So the first thing, David realized who he belonged to. He belonged to a God, in verse 2, that could perform all things for him. Now see, we need to understand what the all things might mean. All things might mean you don't get cured. All things might mean you may be in heaven this year. All things might mean that whoever's after you is no longer a part of your life. It may mean that he's going to move you beyond that circumstance. It might mean that you might get rich. Remember the brother, okay? That happens, okay? We get our 10%. No, I'm just kidding. We don't know what the all things mean. We know what we want them to mean. We want them to mean what we pray for. We want them to mean the best that we think we need. But it's God working his hand, predetermined purpose, because he knows what we need better than we do. And we can only agree with that sometimes. That's why it's in who he is, not what he can do. That's why it's important. David trusted in his God, and he trusted him in a way that was amazing. The next thing we find is David says in that verse, I will cry. Now, verses 3, it begins more of than, we'll get down to some of the I wills, but just the fact that David said, I will. That's a choice. David, this isn't going to happen for David just because he's in favor with God. It's not going to, listen, hiding in a cave for your life, you would not think you would sign up for serving God. Some of the hardships you go through in life, you wouldn't sign up for, or you think you would sign up for, when you're serving God. And doing what God asks you to do, I'm doing it all, I'm doing it right, I'm doing everything you need. What more do you want? And God says, I just want you to trust me. I just want you to go with me. Trust me, let me do what I do. And then you watch what God will do in your life. God will bring you to places. He will use you in people's lives. You will be astounded how smart you become when you need to talk about God, because Christ in you is going to give you what you need. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and 15. He will bring back the remembrance. He will bring back the things that I have taught you. That's one of the great things we have with the Spirit of God in us. We don't have to know it all. We just have to know the one who is the all. And he'll bring it back. That's exciting to me. I am so glad, because listen, if I had to do this all by myself, no, you wouldn't be here. There's no way that my intelligence of a man or any man could put together what only God could put together. So saying that, David says, I will. That's a very important thing, because this is the beginning step of your life and my life. How do we get through this year to come with all the things that may come at us? Don't ever forget who you belong to. The next thing is, you got a choice to make. You have a choice. Are you going to trust him? Are you going to complain? Are you going to fall to the circumstance? What are you going to do? You got a choice to make. Because the first one says, I belong to God. He can do all things. All things. Now, your response, listen, many times in scriptures, it's God's sovereignty mixed with man's responsibility. That's what makes it work. God says, I'm still going to be God. I'm still going to do all the things I want to do for you. I'm still going to make. Your responsibility is to say, I will trust him. I will trust my God. Without your responsibility being upheld, God's still going to be God, but you're not going to be the same. You're not going to respond the same. Your pain isn't going to be gone as what it would have been. So our responsibility in this is very important. And all it is to say, I will. God, I will trust you. And we're going to see how some of that I will comes into play. And what he says here is that I will, the first time we see him do that is in verse 1, where he says that he will put himself under the wings of find his refuge. Then verse 2, I will cry unto you, Most High God, that performs all things. David made a choice. God, I'm going to do this. So very important as we go through and understand this. The third thing we find, he takes refuge and prays in trust. Now I want to just for one moment, I don't want to run out of time here, but for one moment, think about putting yourself in refuge. Refuge means under the wing. Refuge means I'm going, hiding in God's wing. Let God take care of it. Let God deal with it. Let God do it. I'm going to put myself there and I'm going to pray. But do you do that in trust? Just think through your prayer cycle last year. How many times did you pray for something very short time, and all of a sudden, God, you're not hearing me. God, my prayers are bouncing off the wall, ceiling. God, I'm just going to take care of this. You didn't trust him, did you? You didn't trust him in your prayer life when you jump in and take care of it, take over, begin to do what you do. That's not trusting God. Listen, the sad part today is many of God's children put themselves under him and pray to him, but they don't do it in trust because it's very short-lived. Because if you're going to get up and go do it how you want to do it, you're no longer under his wing. You're no longer in his, you can pray all you want. And like we said many times, God will say, okay, that's not my plan. You go do what you want to do and let me know how that works for you. God allows us to do that. He's given us the free will, right? We got choice. We can do whatever we want to do. And David says, no, I choose to place myself underneath him. I choose to cry out to him. And I choose to trust him in my prayers. That's what I'm going to tell you. If you can develop a trust prior to your prayer, you'll be amazed how much that changes your prayer life. Be amazed at how much that changes your worriness, your fretfulness, your afraid. It's not there. Because you're able to say, okay, yeah, that's really hurt. Yeah, that really bothers me. And you're going to be human for a while. And you're going to wrestle through some things. And you're going to be able to say, you know what? But God, I'm going to trust you. God, you're going to see me through this. And that's exactly what David was wrestling with in the calamity of Saul coming after him to kill him. And so interesting how he accomplishes that. Not only did David realize who he belonged to, oh, and also David recommended or recommitted his priorities. The second thing that we realize is he committed his priorities. Now, as we study through this, we realize starting in verse 3 all the way down through verse 7 is, again, rehashing what is going on. So I'm going to read it quickly. He shall ascend from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul's among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. David's saying, listen, he's comparing his enemies to the lions. He's comparing all that is going on in his life to the people who want to take away from him. Verse 6 says, they have prepared a net for my steps. They're trying to catch him. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit for me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. David is saying, God, whatever snare they plan for me, will you let them fall in it? Boy, that's as close as you and I are allowed to come to revenge. We're not allowed to do things to people, but is that a bad prayer? I better not go too far with that. Oh, man. Please don't say I said it's okay to do that. David's just praying. Listen, all the things they're doing to me, God, let it be done to them. Let God protect me. And so as God begins to David begins to understand what God is doing here, again, he's going to set his priorities. Because we find, first of all, in verse 7, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. A fixed heart, simply confidence mixed with determination. Confidence mixed with determination. Now, in a unrighteous world, we call that overly stubborn. And I know y'all got some of that. We can be overly stubborn. So this is with the biblical, this is with the spiritual side of that. Confidence in what? I got God in me. And if Saul became afraid of David because he knew that God was inside him, the least we can do is have confidence in that God's in us. And because God is in us with that confidence, and I can be very determined. Now, if I see you all talking to Kim after church, then no, don't ask her how bad. I'm determined at times. But it's a confidence of God in me. Therefore, my heart is fixed on what? What is it fixed on? Well, he says in verse 7, his heart was fixed on God. I will sing and give praise. God, I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm going to praise you anyway. God, I don't care what's happened. I'm going to sing glory. I'm going to sing. Listen, sometimes when you all start singing, they'll run away. So your problems go. But that song comes from the heart. It's a joyfulness. God, I don't care what happens to me. I'm still going to be joyful because of why? I am confident you're here. I am confident you're in me. I know that you are here. So that heart is fixed is very important. Again, recommitting his priorities. His heart is fixed. Then we're going to see three different ways. The three I wills, basically, that are listed in these verses. And first we find the first I will is, I will sing and give praise. Verse 8 says, awake up, my glory, awake, psalmistry, the harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, Lord, among the people. I will sing unto among the nations, for thy mercy is great into the heavens, and for thy truth into the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. What he was singing, first of all, I will sing is my personal time. I'm going to praise God here first. Because if I can't praise God here first, listen, you're not going to hear it. It's not going to be seen in my life. It's not going to be evident. I have to worry about my life, my relationship with God, and I've got to praise my God no matter what. That's me. That's me time. Me and my God. I will sing. Again, a choice. The second one we find, I will make early to praise him. Early. Not when you have no other resources. Not when nothing else you try doesn't work. Not with anything. And I realize this is talking about getting up early, awaking early, early first thing in the morning. Listen, I walk around most of the time and say, hey, how's your day starting out so far? Well, it's kind of early. But yeah, but if it starts out good, you got a 50-50, it's going to end good. If it starts out bad, you got 100%, it's going to end bad. You ain't got no chance at all. Listen, when we start our days out early, okay, man, we're going to be all right. We are going to be okay the rest of the day. Early, I'm going to wake. That doesn't mean you wake up and you have a five-hour devotion before you work at 6 o'clock in the morning. What that means is that when I wake up early in my mind, early in my heart, early in my life, God, I'm gonna sing to you. I'm going to praise to you. God, I'm gonna praise you for who you are. Praise you for allowing me to wake up. Praise you for allowing me to have a job. Praise you for allowing me to be where I am. Praise you for the people you're going to put in my life today. Praise you for everything. But you can't start a bad day off with that. That day is going to go good in the beginning stages. Now listen, Satan's going to come along and try to whack that out of you pretty early in the morning. But many confidence, determination, fix your heart on this. It's going to make a difference. Third thing we find, I will sing among the nations. That's when the world gets it. That's when the people around you get it. You see, until it starts in your personal life, until it starts early in your day, the people around you are going to look at you and say, you're a Christian. I never would have known. What gave Saul fear? He saw Christ in David. What's going to make a difference between you and the people around you? They're going to see Christ in you. They're not going to see that until you have your personal praise, until you have your early praise, and until you can go sing among the nations no matter what they do. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? Listen, y'all can't be excited when you're like this, okay? It's an oxymoron, okay? You can't look like this and be excited. It's an awesome responsibility because life is hard. It's hard to get this up every day. It's hard to get this in your life when so much out there is coming against us. And folks, it's going to get worse. It's going to come against us harder and harder. Why is everybody against Israel? Because they are associated with the Almighty God. Why is it going to get hard for you and I? Because we claim to believe in the same God. It's going to get hard, but you know what? Hey, bring it on, you know? Why? Because the worst they could ever do to you is send you to God. Really? Come on. How can that be worse? And I don't want to make joke of life. Life is hard. Life hurts. It's very difficult. But man, we serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God that allows us the privilege of doing things in the midst of all that. So here's our takeaway. Four habits to apply. Okay, four habits. If we can get these habits in our life, we could be as David in Psalm 57. First habit, silence and solitude. A space time with God. A space and a time with God. Listen, you can't have good, solid time with God while the radio's blaring, the TV's running, kids are screaming, employees around you are, oh, mercy. High school drama, whoo. You can't find time. You got to find a space and a time. The silence and solitude is very important with God. Next thing we find, scripture meditation. Not a study, but seeking God. There's a difference between reading your Bible and studying it. A difference of studying the Word of God just to see the truth, to know the truth, and how did this guy get on this, and how did David do this, and how, you know, that's a study. It's a great study. But when you meditate, God, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. And one of the best books to begin with in knowing who Christ is the book of John. It has all the I am's. It has all the things that he describes himself as. Great study. Just go through the book of John very carefully, slowly. And every time you get open it up, say, God, I want to know you better today. I just want to know you. I don't want to try to figure out my life. I don't want to try to figure out my wife's life or my husband's life or my kid's life. I just want to know you. That starts that personal. That starts that I'm going to praise God. That starts the trust in a God that I can put myself underneath the shadow of his wings. Because if you don't know him well enough, you won't trust him enough. And that's why some of us, I believe, in Christendom today, we move away from his care because we really don't know him well enough. We got to know him. Scripture meditation. Third thing, listening prayer. A listening prayer. Invite God to work in me, in you. Be careful. He may send you to Africa. He may send you across the seas. He may ask you to do something that you've already said not happening. And he also may take you through things you don't want to go through. But God, work in me. You see, we want God to work in us, but how he does that work, remember, he's the one who can do all things. He can do everything and anything he wants, right? But that prayer, a listening, invite God, say, God, I want you to work in me. Change my, fix my, allow me to be, help me to accomplish whatever it may be in your life. God, fix me. Because the only way that we can be a testimony for God into a world is if we have a good relationship with God. Sometimes God has to fix us to get that. So a listening prayer. Pray, ask God to invite in, and then listen. When God says, you know, you and I both know that yesterday you had a pretty, pretty rough attitude. Or yesterday you were with a group of people that maybe you shouldn't have been with. Or you and I didn't spend no time together yesterday. It's those things that God subtly brings into our mind and our heart. And at that moment, you're listening, huh? Well, don't be like most men and just hear. You already started laughing, I'm telling you. Men hear very, very well, but they don't listen. Because listening means you actually get up and do what you heard. So we're gender, I'm guilty, okay? But listen to God. Not only hear what he's saying, listening means, you know what? I will. It's the choice. I will take God with my strength. I will be a part. I will do. The last thing this morning, journaling. Notebook with a mission. Notebook with a mission. And some of you, especially guys, journal, seriously? That's for girls. Listen, who wrote the Bible? Huh. It wasn't a girl. It was a notebook with a mission. Because then you can go back, and as David went back and said, and especially and very important, as he says in verse, let me pull that verse out again. I think it was in verse 5. No, it wasn't in verse 5. It was verse 2. I will cry unto the God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. How did he know that? He had a journal. He knew. He knew all the things that God had done for him. He knew all the things that God had brought him through. And listen, if you're like me, you can't remember 2 weeks ago. You got to write it down. Because you got to go back further to understand all the things that God has done for you and how he's blessed you every day. You see, this is how we live in a world of the unknowns. And my challenge to my heart, my challenge to all of our hearts today is we apply this to our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love and your word today. And God, I pray as we study through this that we continue to apply it to our life. And God, may us excitingly and willingly apply this in a way that we can really see you do some amazing things in our year to come. God, we just thank you. We praise you for all the things that you do, all the things you are doing and you will do in our lives this year. And God, may we come to you with an eagerness and with a I will attitude to allow you to be the God of gods in our heart and life. God, we just praise you in your son's name. Amen.